now ready. All right. The meeting is now brought to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We do have a quorum. 4 out of 5 of the directors are here and present. Do we have a report from closed session, Mr. Carmel?
Yes, President Pearson. The board continued to discuss the general manager recruitment, briefly considered the performance of the interim general manager, and received a status report from me regarding the CDM Smith litigation, which, for the benefit of the public, is in the early discovery phases, primarily document exchanges. There was a case management conference at the end of May. And at that conference, the judge ordered the parties to mediate before the next case management conference, which is in October. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
If I could ask a question, for those of us not privy to all legalese comments, what does in the early discovery stages mean?
At this point, we're trading very voluminous documents so that we know what information either party has. Then we'll probably get into the interrogatory and deposition.
Whoa. What was that word you just said?
Interrogatory. That's a fancy word for written questions.
Okay, thank you.
Under oath.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, give the public, Mr. Carmel, would you give the public an idea as to the voluminous amounts of information? You gave us some.
I think we received 300,000 documents.
300,000 documents to review.
It takes a long time just to catalog them.
Yeah, thank you. All right, agenda review. Any additions or deletions to the agenda, anyone? Okay. Public safety. The sheriff had to go out on a call, so when he arrives back, we will have him come in at that point and give his report. So we'll skip on down, and Dan, you want to give the fire chief's report? Thank you.
Here we go. Good afternoon, everyone. Dan McCrane, captain with Cambria Fire Department, filling in for Chief Hollingsworth while he's on vacation. So for the month of May, the fire department responded to 84 incidents. We had 42 medical aids, 21 false alarms, 9 public service assists, 8 hazardous situations, and 2 motor vehicle accidents. Year to date through June 1st was 466 incidents that we responded to. The department also completed 595 and a quarter hours of training for the month. That was overall adding up all the department members' hours. We conducted our annual wildland fire refresher, and we did put on a reserve firefighter academy that accounts for a significantly higher number of hours. We did some medical training and some active shooter training, which is required by the county. And we also did send a 5-person crew to participate in a control burn training exercise up at Camp Roberts, where we participated in burning 7,000 acres. Good experience for the newer firefighters to see actual fire behavior in a wildland, see the different fuel types, and to learn different firing techniques as well. So open to you for any questions.
Great. Thank you. Anyone questions? No? Oh, we're going to let you off easy then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other acknowledgments and presentations, we'll now hear from the PROS chairman, Mr. Niffen.
Thanks for having me. That's my report. I'll take any questions. Perfect. Just kidding. Schoolhouse, skate park, and phase two, those would be the three things that I would discuss with you in an official sense. Schoolhouse is going on its way. That's pretty much over from our perspective. There is issues with the skate park that we need to at some time address. I know Yeah, it's not made of concrete, so it deteriorates. I wish it was more of an enforcement issue all the time that we'd say, hey, the kids are over there smoking cigarettes. Ah. But when it deteriorates, it costs us money, so we're going to have to make a decision there at some point. And then phase two of Fiscalini on the East Ranch over there, working with the boys down there on Main Street. I'm skipping a beat. Monty Soto and his guys putting together a program to get it at the county to really kind of get a little more finite of what we're going to do, picnic tables, what kind of play structure. But I will tell you that the bathroom is becoming, is not a contentious issue, but it's fun to discuss that in a social sense about, you know, we're going to have water at the bathroom, we're not going to have water at the bathroom, we're going to encourage the homeless people at the bathroom, or we're not going to encourage the homeless people at the bathroom. So it's a fun discussion. There are no right or wrong answers. There's just a lot of decisions that have to be made, but we're going to go down that road, and we've got to figure out a way to deal with that aspect of the East Ranch before we move on to really doing anything else, because if we're going to put picnic tables in a play structure there, we've got to deal with that at some level. But there is some discussion about the old wells on the property and using secondary water for things you don't have to. I know you wrinkle, and then you know, and then we're trying to find out, you know, can you wash your hands in water that you can't drink, and blah, blah, blah. So, well, you can flush your toilet in water that you can't drink, but could you wash your hands in that, and can you just use chemicals or whatever? So that's basically where we're at with that. Any questions?
Skate park. I understand there's some repairs that are needed.
Yeah.
The last time I looked, they had $21,000 left in your budget that you hadn't used.
Yes, we were planning on using that for the phase two of the East Ranch. But if we really haven't had it as an agenda item on our agenda, the skate park, it was more just a little, you know, topic of discussion. But I guess your look at me tells me we'll put it on the agenda for next month and then discuss it from there.
Yeah, and try to figure out how we get it repaired properly, or come up with a plan that says, okay, to really do it right, it's going to cost X number of dollars, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Super. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Questions? Yes.
This is apropos.
Director Howe.
Apropos, is this on?
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with me then.
Turn you up a little.
Can you hear me? Can you all hear me? There.
There it is.
Sorry. Regarding the skate park, I'm in receipt of a letter from Robert Kelly. Are you familiar?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I just was wondering what I should do.
Yeah, no, Bob's great. You know, he's staying on us.
Can I pass this one on to you then?
No, we've got it.
Okay, thank you.
Right on. Thanks, Tom.
Yes.
Is there something specific about the skate park being at that location? I mean, I don't know the background
belabor this. I always like to say, this is a matter of committee. Let us tell you, it's made of wood, so it deteriorates faster than concrete. Wood is nice, though.
Not thinking in that that perspective, but I was wondering, is there a reason that it is or has to be at the location that it's at?
That would be for a larger community discussion.
Okay.
I'd be happy to see it over on the East Ranch, but I don't...
That was my thinking,
and that's why I was asking
the question.
Yeah, I can see everybody on the Fiscalini board going, whoa, because they're not supposed to necessarily be hardscape on that particular piece.
Okay.
There's, but that's part of the discussion.
Right.
Literally, first Tuesday, 10 o'clock... Over there, we have it out for there. You know. Thank
Great.
You.
Steve,
thank you.
I don't know if you're able to answer this question, but what type of feedback do you or folks that you would know get from the youngsters and the parents that make use of the skate park? I mean, are they happy with it? Are the things they wish were different? Does the fact that maybe it's in need of upgrade and repair keep some of the youngsters from going there?
Meaning the disrepair keeps people from going there? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, that was the part of the question, but the other part was overall, what has been the feedback from the community and the youngsters that go there since the skate park's been there, let's say?
Yeah, I think that any time you provide an avenue for kids to do anything, it's healthy. So I'm for having something. The different kids that use it aren't necessarily within the realms of the normal kids and parents and that are playing Little League. Does that make sense? Meaning it's a solo effort. And a lot of times, and then there's the rotation of the parents. The kids that are using it now in 3 years are gone, and those parents are gone. So the parents that were really into it 10 years ago are no longer around. So there's an evolution that takes place, and that's what the problem with the upkeep is. If there wasn't physical upkeep on it and it was made of concrete, you wouldn't have that cost involved. And then some years people would use it more and some years they wouldn't. But the concrete would allow it to be used over the long range. It's really the wood that is, and the wood is nice. The kids like the wood. It's a nice, smooth, different structure that they don't have anywhere, but it's really beyond our ability to keep up with it as it deteriorates.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
You bet.
Good report from him. Utilities report. John?
Thank you very much. My name is John Alchin. I'm the wastewater system supervisor, and this being the first report out of the utilities department, this could be interesting. So we've been working quite diligently on the PG&E program. We spent some time in a funding fair this last week, and there's a lot of money out there to be had. It just takes a lot of time to get that money. We're still working on moving that forward. The in May, we had several tours at the facility following the April tours. Everybody seemed to like those, so we'll probably begin to schedule tours in the future. We have finally got into we've set up an account with public surplus. We've sold our very first vehicle. The vehicle that's been purchased has yet to be received, and we've sold the vehicle that it's replacing. The vehicle hasn't been used since it went down. But we do finally have had success in our attempts at getting rid of surplus equipment. So hopefully in the future you'll see a few more of those items. Unfortunately, it takes about 30 to 45 days before we receive any of those funds. So we've been removing water and debris left over from the rainy season, out of the digesters and some of the empty pits, just mosquito control around the facility. We had a few trees during the storms that went down behind the facility. Some of them were approaching the buildings, and those were recently removed. One of the items on the IGA and on the PG&E list are plant water pumps. One of those pumps has gone down, and we're in the process of rebuilding that. Hopefully, we'll have that done, hopefully next week. So James Friedel, he has passed his Class B driver's license. It would be nice if someday we could have a new truck for James to drive. So we're having difficulty in our collection system. We went out to bid. We sent out a request for proposals for 23 manhole lids for replacement. And I believe I went out to six different contractors. We did not get one response. I shouldn't say we did not get one response. We'd had a couple of those contractors came in and actually physically looked at some of the equipment and picked up maps of locations, but not one contractor gave us a bid. So the idea was that it was either too much. It was 23 lids. So it was either too big a job for the local guys or too small a job for the out-of-town guys to come in and take a look at. We're going to have to spend a little more time researching how we take care of that in the future. We've still been working on removing lids and looking at the system. We're very much so looking forward to getting a camera so we can find out what's truly in those lines. We've been receiving phantom alarms from a couple of different lift stations. We're in the process of trying some new equipment, some better equipment, and hopefully we'll get that fixed and we'll have a better report for you next month on that. And again, having to do with the cameras, a couple of the guys went down to Pismo and Hacker had a demonstration, and they showed us the new equipment that's available today. And some of it's really nice. The stuff that I was looking at 2 years ago that we've based all this information on, or our bids, our financial information on, has almost antiquated. It's kind of sad. So we had some identified asbestos on site. It was pointed out that we needed to remove that asbestos from the facility by SDRMA, and we successfully found a company that would drive up and all that stuff away. So that's been taken care of, and since I drafted this, we have had an employee leave, so we're in the process of seeking one new employee. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? Go ahead, Vice President Farmer.
So this is the end of your report?
Yep.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask you, so I noticed, or is it here, can I ask you about water issues since it's on here on the report?
So you may. That does not mean I can answer them.
Well, actually, I would imagine, okay. Let me ask you about the lift station at A1.
Okay, that's wastewater.
Right, because I noticed that in the expenditure report that $15,000 was spent on that lift station, and I know it's been a problem. It's one of the higher items in the collection system that needed addressing. So I don't know how I just happened to run across this note that I made, and I think it was in April, but it could have been January. I'm not sure, at the R&I meeting. So it said here, lift station control panel upgrade at Harley and Marine Terrace, part of operation outdated, parts not available. So how did that get resolved?
We're going to replace those antiquated facility.
Okay.
We're going to replace all the electronics so that we can program and operate that facility.
So I don't want to take up any more of our time, but could you just, since people out there, they're not even maybe that aware by people. I mean the
sure.
paying customers and residents. They might not even know how a sewer system, collection system works. And this lift station down there at Harvey Street, like, it's really low. And so how is it so important to have this lift station, if not all of them, running as smoothly as possible to make sure that the sewer system is running well? I mean, if you could just take a moment or two to explain to people what goes on there, why this had to take place.
So we have several lift stations that are close to the ocean, and a failure on one of those lift stations pretty much results in immediate discharge to a receiving water, which would be the ocean. This is a bad thing. That particular lift station, the one that we're speaking about, A1, has had a new generator installed, and I believe several years ago, maybe 8 or 10, there was some new pumps installed. But the electronics were never updated. So the SCADA system was pieced together over several years. It's unfortunately no longer working. It's working in default mode. We can no longer make any program changes. We can no longer go in and actually read how many hours the pumps ran. There's no way to get any of that information. We discovered this, of course, in the middle of the rain one night, and so we've actively. This has been a lift station that we've known that needed to be updated, and at that point, we decided that we needed to move it straight to the front of the list. And so we've gone out for contract, received bids, issued a contract, and that $15,000 was the initial payment to get the project started. We hope to have that done. It would be nice to have that done by the end of June.
End of June. Well, that sounds hopeful.
I'm always hopeful.
Okay. All right, John. Okay, that'd be enough, because I wanted to make a comment on water. All right. So it says here in the report with regard to water and SWF that there's been a few small leaks, and then that major leak on Emmons in May the 24th, and it looks like that took a lot of time and energy on the part of, by the way, and I just want to say this for the folks out there viewing or wherever, the competent people that we have in water and wastewater and the emergencies that they have to attend to, You just have to be able to appreciate these folks, no matter how long or how short their tenure has been at the district here. We, I know on the board, really appreciate, and staff really appreciate what everyone is doing. But I just wanted to make a comment. So it says here, this is one of several, meaning the major leak on Emmons. This is one of several sites that has been added to our list of roadway repairs needed in Cambria. Proposals for that work will be sought in the upcoming fiscal year. So I just wanted to make a comment, since we just had the recent rate increase. This is just my humble opinion. It would be nice if we could take some of the rate increase that went to the emergency water facility and move that over to the water department that is functioning 24/7 to do some of these major repairs here that are being discussed in this report. So I'm not asking for your opinion necessarily, John, unless you want to give one, but that's just my comment.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yes,
Director Howell.
Thank you. Regarding the PG&E proposal.
Sure.
The IGA.
Yes.
It's been brought to my attention that people are, many folks are perhaps still not 100% clear about what's involved in that. And it's been suggested that perhaps Brent Proterra could come and talk to a group at some point in the future. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Would that be an open forum or?
Probably. Okay. I'll talk to you about it. But just wanted to double check, make sure that was still on the table as a possibility.
And again, if you have any questions, you're welcome to email them to me and I will get back to you.
Oh, great.
Well, John, if I could just make another couple of comments. I seem to recall Brent Proterra at one of those two meetings that we had over at the wastewater plant.
Yeah.
That he suggested doing like that a town hall meeting somewhere in July once we kind of got up to speed as to how we were going to continue pursuing this project.
Yes. The way I remember that is he said that if you had a town hall meeting, you would tell him when it was and he would try to make himself available.
Okay. So now that I'm thinking about it, one other item on the report down here with the SWF. So it gives us an update on the impoundment basin and how it's been, or the evaporation pond, how it's been emptied down to the last inch of waste, which will be manually extracted and hauled off to an appropriate disposal site. And then I have one more comment. So the appropriate disposal site is going to be where? Do you have any idea?
I believe it's landfill in Paso.
Yeah, landfill in Paso, okay.
So when we talk about...
I think it's Kettleman where they're going to take that.
So we're talking about dry waste versus wet waste. Not the liquid waste. The dry waste after that material dried up, all the water's gone. That stuff is landfill acceptable. That's been, the tests have all been done on that, and as far as I know, that's all going to a landfill in Paso. Okay.
Do we have any idea how many trips it's going to take, how much it's going to cost?
I couldn't tell you.
You probably don't know, huh? We'll ask Jim next month.
Well, last time I asked Jim, he said one truck. He had it down to one truck.
Cool.
That wouldn't be dry waste. That would be the liquid waste, and that would probably be going to... that might be going to Kettleman or to South County Sanitation. But the dry waste is all going to a landfill.
Thanks, John.
You're very welcome. Anything else?
Anyone else? Good. All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
All right. Next item on the agenda is public comment, and I have one request to speak from Mike Lyons. You're all right.
Mike Lyons, Cambria. Thank you all for your hard work. I really appreciate it, and for the spirit of cooperation, which I think is the best in 27 years that I've lived here. I am mindful not only of the decision makers that are here today, sitting on the board and the staff, but also the people in the audience and the many people who may be viewing this meeting online, at home, or on television. It seems that it's important to me that you hear all sides of all these questions that we discuss. And it seems that, after all, this meeting has become the public square. I was very disappointed at the last CCSD meeting that I attended, particularly by the comments of Director Farmer, that this board is laboring under decisions made by past boards, implying that those were mistaken decisions. And I was disheartened to hear a member of the public at this podium describe that our SWF was a mistake, which we should admit now and sell off as our source of supplemental water. To Director Farmer's comment, I would remind him that he was not on the board when these critical, selfless decisions were made. And he's the first to admit that he had a lot to learn after he was elected to the board. I contend that the board, after decades of indecision and extremely costly studies, and in the face of threatening drought, made wise and courageous decisions. This decision was supported by the vast majority in this community and continues to be supported. I submit the results of election after election and the huge majority of written comments inserted into the EIR report, as well as to the recent hearing at the Water Quality Board. I say numbers count, and we've got them. To the suggestion that the SWF was a mistake and should be sold, that would be the height of irresponsibility. We could not sell our SWF for anywhere near what it cost, yet we'd still have to pay off the entire balance of the loan. You would not call a person wise who sold his car owing a number of years' payment. He still has to make the payment, but he has no transportation. You have not seen the folly of paying for nothing if we sell off that facility. We'd have no supplemental water for humans, endangered species, fire protection, but we'd still be paying for nothing. Your complaints are not solutions. As expensive as it is, the SWF does offer solutions. Ultimately, you can't have it both ways. If you value water security, our best option is the SWF. You can't have it both ways. If you desperately want infrastructure improvements, realize that we're bouncing along the bottom of our ability to pay, and we must raise rates. You cannot have it both ways. And you cannot block and stand in the way of providing affordable housing and at the same time insist that we find local solutions to homelessness and overcrowding. You cannot have it both ways. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other requests in front of me. Okay. We'll move along to board member and committee liaison.
I don't know whether this would be considered public comment, but I'll take the opportunity to be able to do this if I may. I can put these out in the lobby, but I wanted to bring to your attention the public forum that is going to be held on the 19th, which is a Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m. here in the Vets Hall, entitled Compassion for the Homeless, Challenges and Opportunities. There's information related to that and specifics about the forum that's going to be held. We have a rather impressive panel of folks who are going to be coming to speak to the community in that regard, and number 14 people, as a matter of fact, a number of whom are from the county, from support services. We're being joined by our supervisor, Mr. Gibson, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the community to come together and to consider the challenges that we and the homeless themselves face in our community and what actions we can take to improve all of that for all of us. So I'll make sure that these are out in the out on the front table so that people have an opportunity to pick them up later. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Board member and committee and liaison reports. I go first, and I was going to mention the homeless town hall, but
sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I have a couple of others that I think the community should be interested in. One is that PG&E is holding an open house on June 20th from 6 to 8 in San Luis Obispo at the Embassy Hotel. Embassy Suites to answer questions, et cetera, to trump that, so to speak. The Cambria Fire Safe Focus Group is having a Wildlife Preparedness Day on Saturday the 29th from 10 until 1. We're going to have a PG&E spokesman do a presentation on what all this means to Cambria, and he will be able to answer questions at that time also. So I strongly support that large attendance at that. We will also have a report from Dan Turner on the evacuation studies that have been and are ongoing at Cal Poly. We got a grant to do evacuation studies for various areas in the town. Lodge Hill was first because of its complications, so to speak, but we were able to get some additional monies, and the study that will be reported on the 29th will include Pine Knolls, Happy Hills, and Lemert. So they've done that study, or they're going to have that done by the 29th. So that report will also be given. So it's a very worthwhile couple of hours to spend learning how to prepare better, not only for a wildfire, but also for the possibility of PG&E turning off your electricity at your house for days at a time. So I think it's well worth your time to go to that one. I also want to bring up something that came up last meeting about meeting schedules and trying to get them posted more places. We did talk to the Cambrian, the Tribune, actually, and my opinion is that it's kind of expensive to take out an ad in that paper and get that done. So I'm not sure that that's the solution, and I'm looking for other solutions either from board members or from the community if you have an idea as to where else we could put this. Currently, we post all the meetings that have to do with CCSD, including the special meetings, regular meetings, PROS meetings, finance, policy, and resource and infrastructure committee meetings, times, and dates are all on the CCSD website. We post them on the Vets Hall, the agenda, the CCS binder at the front desk, Tribune Events, which is their free place where we can do events. We put stuff out there. And also KSBY events calendar. It's all out there also. So we're doing some posting, and we're getting the word out. You can also sign up on the website to get an email on these agendas, and I would recommend that you do that if you are interested in attending these meetings. Anyone else have any? Yes, Director Stadell.
It turns out, and I wasn't aware of this because I just go back past it without looking every time I come in here to the Vets Hall, but the glass enclosed mounted bulletin board to the exterior of the Vets Hall has all of these meetings listed within that, and that is updated and replaced on a regular basis. And I believe that there is a similar board at the CCSD facility. And I believe also there's posting at the library. Is that a true statement, or am I mistaken? Okay. But that's possibly something to look into to see if see about posting at the library, although being just across the street and the fact that it's posted right here on the building probably is just as easy an access point.
Sure. Okay, I am remiss. I do have a request to speak on this particular item. Christy Heinrichs. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm here to ask the Finance Committee to explain how the rate increases that will be collected will be allocated to the three separate funds, water, wastewater, and SWF, which of course is actually an emergency water supply project. Money is being applied to the EWS deficit, although the 218 rate protest specifically allowed ratepayers to protest the three funds separately. Please explain this. And would the Finance Committee consider setting a finite limit to the amount of money being spent on the EWS, since now apparently there is no limit on how much the district will spend on it? Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Finance Committee report. You're next up.
Well, the Finance Committee had a special meeting this past Tuesday in review of the budget data. And for reference for Ms. Heinrichs, the details of that agenda would provide all of the information that she had been asking for, except for the request for limitation on expenditure to the SWF, which isn't a function of the Finance Committee. It'd be a function of the board. It provides information in detail of the budgeted data against the rate values. So all of that is there for your reference and has been provided, and probably I think this is our third time through in review of those numbers specifically in that data. It'll also be part of the budget that's brought forward to the community. If there are those of you who haven't had the time or opportunity to either view or participate in the public meetings that the Finance Committee has had. That basically has been eating up the time of any of the meetings that the Finance Committee has been having. That and the interaction between ourselves and the research are the resources and investment. The R&I committee. I do much better by just defaulting to using the alphabet there. The R&I committee with information related to the priorities for CIP and the relationship of those things in terms of the monies available as a result of the 218 process and the potential applications of those available funds, which are priorities established by R&I. And that's pretty much it as far as what I have. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Any questions on any of that? No? Okay, then we will move on to the Policy Committee. And since Director Rice is not here, she has asked Mr. Heinrichs to give a short report. Mr. Heinrichs, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, we finally had a full staff at our first policy meeting. It was very good. It was on the 12th and at 4 o'clock. So we had the opportunity of bringing all the components together for the finance, the infrastructure, and our own policy committee for the statement of purpose and authorities as what each one would stand for. And then under that, we put in together all the bylaws that which would be applicable to all of them below that. And this was in a timely fashion such that we're trying to get that resolved in written format by today or so to make the agenda for your next meeting in June 20th. And at that time, the board would be able to review those comments.
Okay, okay. Very good. Thank you. So my understanding is that we can get that on the agenda for January 20th. However, the actual June 20th, but the actual information will probably have to be green sheeted on Monday. Is that correct?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
If you want to put it on the agenda, we would have to put an agenda description on. Then we can green sheet on
Monday. Okay. Okay.
So if you have a description, we can put it on there, and then whoever's preparing the information can prepare it.
Okay. Can we get that description done, what, tomorrow, right, is the day we have to publish?
It'd be great if we could do it before the end of today.
Okay.
Or tomorrow.
Well, let's move the
by
meeting.
By noon, please.
We'll move the meeting along here and see if we can't. And if we'll take a break if we can't, and we can get something together, okay?
Sure.
Good. Yes, Director Steidel.
I will say that the ad hoc committee of the Finance Committee had the opportunity to review the information from the R&I committee, but that document as a whole had not yet been brought back to the Finance Committee. Now, that ad hoc report, I guess, is what the Policy Committee looked at. But I just want to stipulate that the Finance Committee had not had a chance to take a look at that bylaws statement.
Yeah. So one of the objectives of having a policy committee is that
is to
have them do it. So if they bring forward what they've basically brought together from the consensus of the three, then we could probably move along and get that done at the board level, maybe. We'll look at it, if that's okay. Good?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Everybody okay with that? Yes, good. All right, moving on. Resources and Infrastructure Committee report.
Oh, okay. The major part of our discussions so far in our last meeting had to do with the budget. So basically that and passing on our recommendations to the Finance Committee. Most specifically, a great deal of attention has been paid to the PG&E proposal and moving that forward. As we go forward into the future, our meeting, which is next week, we will recommence coming up with a mission statement and some objectives. It's about time now that the budget crunch is, at least from our point of view, presently finished. So those two items will be on the agenda, and then also we hope, assuming we have some time, the two other items that we'll be dealing with are one is to try to begin to get an understanding about water gains and water losses in the system. And then the other topic will be a commencing discussion regarding the project description, which needs to be part of the CDP that was mentioned in the board meeting of last time. So those are the items that we're faced with now that we hope to begin to proceed with. The only other thing I have to say is that the committee members all have been very enthusiastic, and when they're not been on vacation, they've been working very hard, and so I'm looking forward to getting some good input from them as we go forward.
Good. Thank you. All right. I'll now open it for other liaison reports. Vice President Farmer, do you want to start?
Thank you. I'll start with updating what happened at the Forest Committee meeting last night. First off, there's a new board director that has been put in place. Her name is Andrea Wogland, and she happens to be the new executive director of Green Space. So it's nice to have her aboard. And also attending the meeting last night is Andrew Boyd Goodrich, and he took over for Cameron. I can't remember his first name right now.
Chris
Cameron, who for 16 years totally transformed Camp Ocean Pines. So Andrew took over for him, so he's the new executive director there. He took office last December, and he was there and he made the comment that he really wanted to see what would the mission be of Camp Ocean Pines working in a complementary fashion with the Forest Committee and with Green Space. So just those three groups right there becoming more compatible as to how to address the issues of the forest is a great idea. Another thing that was discussed very briefly in the beginning was perhaps starting a campaign and making people in the community more aware of how we need to address the idea of invasive plants, ice plant, but especially broom and thistle, that are becoming more invasive, you know, throughout the forest, throughout the community, and maybe figuring a way next year to get a handle on this, on these guys here, especially the broom and the thistle. I mean, broom is a problem. Thistle is downright dangerous because it just, well, anybody that's pulled it out knows what I'm talking about. So hopefully we can address that in a more effective manner next year. Now, one of the items that came up last night, or a number of them that were discussed, but there's this new creature that's about the size of the end of a ballpoint pen, which I don't have here, but so you get an idea. They're called invasive borers. They bring a fungus that basically ultimately destroy, they mainly attack mature and healthy trees, ultimately destroy trees. To give you an example, well, first I'll tell you when they got here. They arrived in this area around 2012, probably from Southeast Asia, and they first were discovered in Los Angeles County. They've spread to Orange County, San Diego County, Riverside, Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo counties. They've attacked dozens of tree species. What they do is disrupt the flow of water and nutrients that the trees need to survive. They tunnel into the trees, weaken the trunk and the branches, and then the trees die. Just to give you an example, all of the box elder trees in Orange County have been destroyed. Many trees at Disneyland had to be cut down as a result of this particular problem. One of the ways, the main way that is transported from one area to another is through oak firewood. So it was just suggested, and of course those of us here aren't bringing firewood from down in Southern California or Santa Barbara County, but that's probably one of the worst things that could be happening with regard to this spreading into our county, and apparently, like I said, it's already taking place. Another thing that happened yesterday was supporting, there was a vote by the Board of Directors to support the Dark Skies Initiative, so they're going to send a letter of support to Beautify Cambria, who is supporting the Dark Skies Initiative, so there will be less light pollution in our community in the evening, so we can more benefit from the beauty of the skies that are above us. So that's my report from the Cambria Forest Committee from last night. Now, this is the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve report from May 9th, and you're wondering, well, why are you doing it a month ago, Harry? Well, the next Fiscalini meeting is tonight after this meeting, so that's why it's a month late. So this is some of the highlights from the meeting from a month ago. One of the things that was very disappointing is that FFRP hired this group, I don't recall their name, I didn't write it down, to do the ranch survey, the boundary ranch survey. These folks did an inadequate job, an inadequate and incomplete job. They've already been paid $23,000. I think the overall total was supposed to be $35,000, so they're not going to pay them the rest of the money. They're going to hire a new surveyor who will complete the job. They've already met with these people. They seem to be much more competent, and they're going to do the job for less money. So that's a really cool thing. Another thing that was discussed, just to bring us up to speed here, educational outreach. There's going to be ongoing planning being made with both the San Lucia Middle School and Leffingwell to have more activities for the young people on the ranch next year. And more and more work continues to be done by the volunteers, 15 to 20 hours a week or more out on the ranch with regard to removing ice plant, working on trails, and that type of thing. Now, I noticed that Carlos Mendoza, who was he's the ranch manager and the head of facilities and resources, thank you. He's not here right now, so I'm going to give you the update that he's going to be presenting tonight. So first off, this is about the ranch. which we own. Several willow trees across Santa Rosa Trail and the trail in the East Village, they fell across trails, they were cut and chipped up. A number of five fire breaks have been completed in various entrances to the ranch. Invasive plants, much has been done. A crew was hired to assist with weed control. Over 200 acres were treated with a combination of mowing and handwork, as well as spot spraying. I don't know what that spot spraying is, but I think we discussed the idea that at the board here that we didn't want to use Roundup anymore, so I'll check in on that. So there was also trails work done, like I said, removal of ice plant. This is Carlos gave a report on the homeless at last month's meeting, 4 weeks ago. This is the one he's going to be giving tonight. And this is an update as of June 1st. So as of June 1st, 50 camps on the ranch and CCSD properties have been discovered. The largest one was discovered earlier this month. So this, I'm just going to read what Carlos said. I've made multiple trips to the occupied sites and have spoken to those living there. Some of the occupants were willing to clean up and dismantle their camps, but needed some assistance. He provided plastic bags so they could collect all their trash and pack up their belongings. Carlos met with Mission Country Disposal. They had a representative of site on several occasions. Mission Country dropped off several three-yard dumpsters near the encampments, and two of the occupied sites have now been 80% cleaned up by the occupants. So they're getting, whereas in the past we heard, well, these people aren't even around, apparently they're being those people, the homeless people. They're becoming much more cooperative in some areas and cleaning up their own campsites. Follow-up work, Carlos met with Commander Manuel and three deputies on the ranch. They visited some of the occupied sites. Contact was made with the occupants, and eviction notices were issued. The sheriff is going to make follow-up visits. Facilities and resources have met with the Slo County Homeless Services Coordinator and the Salvation Army, and they've provided folks with those folks with descriptions of the occupants and their locations, so they, meaning Homeless Services and the Salvation Army, can provide services to the occupants. With regard to patrolling, facilities, staff, in other words, Carlos's crew, they're going to be patrolling the ranch three times a week. They continue to find trash and other materials. And then, as has already been mentioned, there's going to be a town hall meeting on the homeless, and that's for next Wednesday from 6 to 8 right here at the Vets Hall in conjunction with North Coast Advisory Council. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Good report. Thank you. Director Howell, have you got any liaison reports you'd like to give?
NCAC.
Good.
The meeting was on the 13th. That was last week. Last week. So Supervisor Gibson, in his report, he mentioned some things which I found to be of interest. There has been quite a bit of discussion about the sewer problem that San Simeon is faced with, and the possibilities of a regional solution to that. Supervisor Gibson's position, as he stated at the meeting, was that he feels San Simeon's needs are quite immediate, so that seeking out a regional solution in the short term is not reasonable. However, in the long term, I'm not sure what long means in this context, but he's more interested in looking at a long term, at the situation long term, whatever that may be. So there's nothing immediately pending, at least to come to us. That's my impression, anyway. And regarding the homeless, the county has received some $4.3 million so far to commence aiding in the for resources to aid in the aid the homeless. Of course, the county is looking for more money. This is a very hot issue. And in regards to the 2020 election, the implementation of the recent legislation to go to all mail-in ballots. For this county, due to some financial constraints, that will not be taking place for this election cycle, but there will probably be a drop-off box in Cambria for people that wish to drop off their ballots there. But the full-on mail-in situation won't be occurring at this cycle. There was a considerable discussion about cannabis cultivation in the county, and the only takeaway from that I have is that the supervisor said, if I got this, my notes right, that the current taxes and fees should be sufficient to support enforcement at its present level. But that seems to be the major concern, as far as I can tell. There was some mention about the possibilities of creating a state-level bank or credit union to deal with the money that the cannabis businesses are collecting, but have no place to deposit it. The other thing which Supervisor Stidell has already, Director Stidell has already mentioned, is the yes, you just promoted you if you want the job. Next week, the forum, the NCAC meeting will be the forum on the homeless, compassion for the homeless, challenges and opportunities. It does look like a very it's an important problem, and it's going to be a good presentation, I'm sure. So I hope that we have a lot of people. Certainly, let's hope we get as many as we got for the vacation rental thing. So we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, and this is basically the first step that we can take as a community on that. That was the major part of the discussion.
Okay, thank you very much. Director Stidell, you have any reports from any of your liaisons? You did send me something about street paving that got approved.
Did that come up at I do get communication. I have several things that get distributed to me by email, and it had to do with projected paving actions by the county as a whole. And there were attached documents which actually had been posted out on the CCSD website also. It's a little bit of a slog to go through because it's the county. So you kind of have to go through and find the Cambrian streets that are applicable. But it does give some status of areas of paving that the county has on its books to accomplish for this year.
Your tax dollars at work there. They claim that the monies that they're using to do all this paving is coming from the additional gasoline tax that was tacked on, a year and a half ago or so. So, and there were a lot of streets in Cambria that are going to get resurfaced in some form and manner. So go out there and look and see if your street's going to get. And they're not going to just pothole fix. They're actually going to resurface most of these, which is a real benefit, finally. Okay. Anyone else have other reports? Vice President Farmer.
This isn't a report. It's just a comment. Director Howell was talking about the discussion at NCAC regarding cannabis cultivation and, I guess, the collection of taxes as a result. And it brought to mind a news item. I'm going to say this is probably around 1971. Ace Young, a crack news reporter at KMET, one of the top rockers, in L.A., reported that Tommy Rettig, who we might recall from Lassie, the young man on Lassie, had been arrested in San Luis Obispo County for pot cultivation. And I don't know what happened to Tommy, but that was then, this is now. And I wonder what he's thinking. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Managers' reports. Start with the general manager report.
President Pearson, members of the board. Just a real quick briefing. I did attend the Regional Water Board hearing on the waste discharge requirements since the last GM report. Also attended a meeting with County Supervisor Bruce Gibson and Sheriff Commander Manuel, NCAC representative, who I think was Susan McDonald, and others regarding some of the homeless encampments. And, of course, as mentioned by board members, there's an upcoming community meeting on that. Worked with staff on some compliance measures with the Regional Water Board. Have had follow-up discussions with John Rocky after the Regional Board's meeting or as part of it. An additional condition was placed to update our maintenance program for the EWS/SWF. And so I've had some initial conversations with John Rocky on that. Staff also responded to the Division of Drinking Water regarding the notice of violation that we had discussed briefly at previous meetings. That NOV has essentially been closed, and what the Division of Drinking Water requested is a compliance plan for future reporting, and so staff has put that together and submitted it in draft form to the Division of Drinking Water. And then lastly, also reviewed regarding the water license with the State Water Board Water Rights Division. Again, have been working on draft compliance plan associated with that. Then I noticed that in my bullets here, it looks like three out of the six are actually repeats. I think I pretended like I had more things, but those all three were all relating to the budget. And as previously mentioned, we had several ad hoc committee, a regular finance committee, a special finance committee meeting, and that was all preceded by the joint meeting with R&I and finance. And, of course, that's going to be on the agenda for next week. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Anyone? No? Okay. We'll now have the finance report. Ms. Duffield.
Thank you, President Pearson, members of the board. My report has two minor edits to it. So down in the financial system update for Tyler Technologies, we had originally planned on bringing the change order requests for the two new modules and a budget adjustment to the board in July. But after our recent ad hoc committee meetings and our finance committee meeting regarding the budget, we've determined that it's more of a new year or a current year issue than it is a new budget year issue. So we're working with district council to go ahead and get that on our June 20th agenda. So you'll be seeing that a little bit sooner than you thought. And then a little bit more update on the audit. So at the time that I wrote this, the auditor had not been on site yet. And so he has since spent 2 days with me a couple of weeks ago. And we are have a bunch of homework to complete, and then he will be back on site on July 2nd and potentially all of July 3rd to complete all of his testing and field work. And then he's hopeful that he will be able to get the report completed sometime the end of July or the early part of August. I don't know if we'll meet the deadline for the August meeting, but we're sure going to try. So we'll either have a report, a final report, the end of July or the end of August.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for the finance? We'll have plenty next week. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, and we have a request to speak on one of the items. So I would like to have Ms. Schwartz go ahead and speak to see if we want to pull that particular item or not. She wants to speak on item 7D. So, Ms. Schwartz, welcome.
Thank you, board and everybody. One question I had on that is for the schoolhouse. Obviously, I mean, I love what the Historical Society is doing and totally support them, respect everything they do. Just wondering, on the schoolhouse, wouldn't it be more authentic, especially since we're in a moratorium, to go back the way the water system and the sewer system was when it was in operation? Because I don't think they probably had, I don't know for sure, but I don't think they had running water or sewer back in the 1880s? So the thing is, we could have like an ADA unit because we know we have to have bathrooms out there, but we could put it into a separate little house, a very simple structure. We all know what those are. And we could have some type of pumping device for washing hands or whatever. But that, since we're in a moratorium, it might be best to go back to authenticity until we are actually proven that we have those things at our disposal and not cause any more complications for ourselves. So that's, you know, that's my comment.
Okay, thank you. All right, does anybody want to, at least on that and anything else, pull anything from the consent agenda?
I don't want to pull anything, but I just want to make a couple of comments from the expenditure report. Can I do that?
Sure.
Thank you. So first off, an item with regard to Canon. We are on page 43. With regard to a little over $3,000 with regard to the impoundment basin design evaluation, can we get an update, perhaps from our interim general manager, as to what was the result of that, or what continues to be the ongoing exploration of that?
Yeah, I have received a draft report. I have reviewed the draft report. I haven't had a chance yet to get back to Canon on my questions. We'll be doing so next week, and then hope that it's going to be refinaled within the next couple weeks.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you. So I just want to bring us up to date on expenditures on the emergency water facility. SWF operations the accounts payable total for SWF in May was just under $28,000. So on the plus side, I just want to say that that's much more than it was a year ago. And I'm going to express the gratitude of the entire community that less monies per month are being spent now on the emergency water facility than has been in the past. So that's something that we should all be thankful for. But I do want to mention of the just under $28,000, about 19 and a half of that was for legal fees for Rutan and Tucker. I imagine that is for the ongoing lawsuit that is taking place with CDM Smith, which I can't comment any more on that. But so I just wanted to put that out there. And hopefully that's all I wanted to comment on. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I do have a correction for the minutes. On page 61, in the vote on the hearing and appeal, the motion passed 4 ayes and 1 nay. And somebody that was absent voted nay. It should be Director Rice, I believe, voted nay there. Just for the record. Well. All right, anything else for the consent agenda? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. So moved by Director Howell, second by Director Steidel. Can we have a roll call vote, please? Oh. Director Howell made the motion, and Director Steidel seconded it.
Great. Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye.
Can I make one brief comment? I feel like, well, let me just say this. I like it when you say, I'd like to entertain a motion. I'm wondering if at any point in time any of us could spontaneously up and dance a little bit, just providing a little entertainment. Could we do that?
Have at it.
Thank you.
Maybe jazz hands.
All right, moving along again. we're on number 8, hearings and appeals. Number 8A, would the general manager like to introduce this one?
Certainly, President Pearson, members of the board. 8A is a public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of Resolution 21-2019 confirming 2018 fire hazard fuel reduction itemized report of the Cambria Community Services District. And Ms. Duffield is going to provide the staff report.
All right, so I now open the public hearing. Is there anyone who wants to speak on this particular issue? Anyone of the board that would like to speak on this issue? No? All right, then I can close the public hearing and we can take a roll call. No, we can need. I need a motion first to approve the resolution 21-2019.
Well, I'll make the motion that we approve the very same resolution 21-2019 confirming the 2018 fire hazard fuel reduction itemized report.
Very good.
I'll second.
Thank you. Second by Director Steidel. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice President Farmer?
Yes.
Director Steidel?
Yes.
Director Howell?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. Passes 4-0. We're on to 8B. Thank you.
President Pearson, members of the board, 8B is a public hearing to discuss and consider resolution 22-2019 approving a fire suppression benefit assessment consumer price index adjustment at the rate of 3.1% for fiscal year 2019-2020 and confirming the itemized report to collect the assessment on the county tax roll. And legal counsel Carmel is available in the event that your board wants a verbal report.
Very good. Thank you. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Does anyone in the public want to comment on this one? No? Any board members? Thank you. Public hearing is closed. I will now consider a motion to approve this resolution. Director Steidel.
I move to approve resolution 22-2019 for the fire suppression benefit assessment consumer price index adjustment.
Very good. A second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Vice President Farmer seconds. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Steidel?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
Director Howell?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. Passes 4-0. Now on to item 8C. Thank you.
And again, President Pearson, members of the board, item 8C is a public hearing to consider adoption of resolution 23-2019 confirming the itemized report to collect delinquent solid waste collection and disposal charges on the county tax rolls and either finance manager Ms. Duffield or legal counsel Carmel are available for a verbal.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on this one. Anyone want to speak on this particular issue? No? Any board members, comments? Yes, Director Howell.
Yeah, it's just sort of a comment here. I was looking at some of these charges, and they have to be fairly old, unless some people are using really a lot of water. I see a total of $334
on one. This is waste management.
Yeah, waste management, but that's their monthly fee.
Right.
So this has to be like an annual. I'm just wondering how he could go so long without getting collected. That's all. I mean, not that it's.
They don't pay it.
They just simply, we let him run for a year without any kind of a thing. Is that what's happening?
Commentary from, yes, Ms. Duffield.
So may I answer the question? So they do go ahead and collect their refuse they're required to, but these are the unpaid charges. It could be owners moved out. I did have one of the owners reach out to me, and she had since moved, so they did not have her forwarding address So she's aware it will be collected through the tax roll. So that could be some of the situations that occur. They move, and then the refuse company doesn't have the forwarding information. It's a little different than the water sewer world, you know, because they're kind of a franchise agreement within the district, so they are not have the access to the same records that we do. So.
Thank you. Just kind of wondering how the charges could run up so high.
It seems to me that this list is a lot smaller than last year, considerably.
Yeah.
I believe on last year's tax roll we had 4. This year we have 8.
Oh, so it's more this year.
I think in past years we had 30.
When we first started this program, we had $36,000 that the trash company wrote off. So it has really improved revenue.
Good. Good. Well, they're getting paid the money that they should be paid, so that's fine. All right. Any other comments?
I don't know if I should... I should have been recognized first.
That's okay.
That is you, Harry. And looking at this list, I happen to know 2 of these people personally. And I'll make an effort to talk to them, if for no other reason than to get some kind of explanation as to why they haven't taken care of this. And I shouldn't make any comment on any of them by name or otherwise, since at least the 2 people I know have issues that go beyond, I think, being able to pay the bill. So anyway, it's just my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Nothing else? I'll close the public hearing, and I'll ask for a motion to approve.
Now we're all hesitant.
That's my turn now.
Okay, yes.
I move to approve Resolution 23-2019, confirming the itemized report to collect delinquent solid waste collection and disposal charges on the county tax rolls.
Very good. I have a second from...
I'll second.
Director Seidel seconds. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Seidel?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
Aye.
President Pearson?
Aye. All right. Thank you very much. On to 9, and we are going to adjourn to closed session. And now we will entertain public comment before we adjourn to the other room. If there is anyone who wants to make public comment on any of the items that are listed in the closed session agenda. No? Okay. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.